Well, good morning, Redeemer Bible Church. So nice being back. I'm just so happy. What is your New Year's resolution? Let me ask you this. Now, I'm not asking about food or exercise because most of you answered that. Well, after Christmas, it has to do with eating or exercising. Well, let me just ask you, do you have a New Year's resolution? Actually, I do. And I would like to suggest you one. And the New Year's resolution I would like to suggest you is this. Have a heart of wisdom. Have a heart of wisdom and be faithful to the Lord. Let me repeat that. Have a heart of wisdom and be faithful to the Lord. It is so much needed in this hour and this day, in this society, to have a heart of wisdom and to be faithful to the Lord, even against peer pressure, even against messages that tell the opposite, this whole culture that says that you just do whatever you want to do, have a heart of wisdom, and be faithful to the Lord in 2018. Let me tell you about a man. His name is Géza Bácsi. That's a Hungarian name, Géza Bácsi. And he's a man with a heart of wisdom who is faithful to the Lord. He was born in 1925. At that time, Hungary was still a kingdom without a king. I'll tell you about it if you're interested. And he was raised up in a Baptist family. And early on, I think he was 14 or 15, he committed his life to Jesus. He trusted Jesus Christ. That was the year 1939 when the Second World War started. And Hungary entered that war on the wrong side. And as the result, in 1944, Soviet Union occupied our country and they stayed for 45 years. It was the year 1944 or 45. Again, we were occupied by the Soviet Union, and they were starting introducing communism when Géza Bácsi decided that he is going to be a Baptist pastor. Now, in those years, in communism, probably that was the worst possible choice you could make. It was a system where atheism was official. They said there is no God. I lived in it. They tried to oppress the church. Yet he went to seminary, and he started pastoring churches. And he said, I will have a heart of wisdom. I will be faithful to the Lord. He was doing youth evangelism. He was building up churches. And he was one of those pastors the government heavily persecuted. Let me just mention one of these instances. In the mid-60s, his preaching license was revoked a third time. And finally, it was given back to him. And the communists put him in the smallest Baptist church of the land. That was 10 people old. And they said, well, that's a good place for him. He's not going to make any more trouble. By the mid-80s, that was the number one, the biggest Baptist church of the country. Okay? And in 91, when he was passing on the baton, when he retired to a younger pastor, that church was about 400 with a brand new church building which they built under communism because Géza Bácsi decided to be faithful. He had a heart of wisdom. He stood up and he stayed with the Lord. For 45 years, he was counting the days. I talked to many people his generation. My dad used to be from that generation. And trust me, those people who were born before communism, they were counting the days. They were counting the days when the Russians will be out. They were counting the days when atheism will not be the official agenda. They were counting the days, and Géza Kovács was faithful, had a heart of wisdom, and God richly blessed his efforts. So when he retired at the age of 66, he was able to pass on the biggest church and the most influential church of the country to a younger pastor. Have a heart of wisdom that results in faithfulness. This morning I'd like to tell you a story about another man who lived 3,500 years ago, Caleb, who had a heart of wisdom and who was faithful to the Lord. All of you know the story of Caleb, right? From the Bible. And what really strikes me is that this man was faithful. And there is so much we can learn from him. So much we can see how he had a heart of wisdom and how that resulted in faithfulness and how we can apply the same principles today. So if you have your Bible, we're going to look at a couple of Bible passages. We're going to analyze how Caleb lived and how his life was so faithful and how he had a heart of wisdom. Let's start with Exodus. Exodus 15, 19. Okay, so turn to Exodus. Exodus 15, 19, because first we're going to examine the foundation of his heart of wisdom and faithfulness. Exodus 15, 19. This is a short quote from the Song of Moses. And this is how it reads. For when the horses of Pharaoh with the chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground in the midst of the sea. You know, the foundation of Caleb's heart of wisdom and Caleb's faithfulness was God's deliverance. Let me repeat that. The foundation was God's deliverance. Let's think about the life of Caleb. He grows up in Egypt, in slavery, and all he sees is polytheism, the fancy worship of the Egyptians. And yes, he probably heard the stories about the God of Israel, but then something radical happened. This Caleb, with that generation, experienced the 10 plagues. This Caleb experienced the 10th one, Passover, and all the firstborn died. But not those of the Israelites, those who sacrificed the lamb. And this Caleb experienced how God was leading them out of Egypt. Remember that the pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke, pillar of fire by night, pillar of smoke was leading them out, was protecting them, was standing between them and the Egyptians. And this same pillar of smoke and pillar of fire led them, and he experienced that. And unlike many of his contemporaries, that caused something in the life of Caleb, he believed. The foundation of his faithfulness was that defining experience, that he experienced the deliverance of God. He saw the person of God. You know, there was a whole generation, and most of those people, although they saw these things, they experienced these things, they did not believe. But Caleb saw these things, experienced these things, and he did believe. He experienced God's deliverance, and he believed. And that was the foundation. That was the foundation on which he built his life. That was the defining experience, God's deliverance. You know, I could tell you all the stories about the pillar of cloud, how he was leading them in the day, and a pillar of fire, how he was leading them at night, how it was always present in the camp. A whole generation looked at it, they did not believe. Caleb looked at it, he believed, along with Joshua and Moses. Now, let's make a big jump. What is the foundation of your faithfulness, of your wisdom? Is it God's deliverance? Think about it. I don't know how it happened in your life. In my life, it happened when I was 20. God made me new. I didn't deserve it. But I wasn't particularly seeking for it. He found me. He changed me. He delivered me. He made me new. He gave me purpose. I experienced him. And that is the foundation of who I am. And when you are thinking about your resolution, when you are thinking about your next year, look back at that experience. Yes, this next year is going to bring difficulties. Yes, this next year is going to bring situations when you will not feel good, when you will have fears and you will have worries, concerns, conflicts, choices to make. Think back of that defining experience, that one time when God delivered you. Jesus Christ gave his blood for you. He died for your sins. He rose from the grave. That is the defining experience. That is the foundation, God's deliverance. Caleb did not know about that. You do. Caleb knew about God's deliverance from Egypt. You knew about God's deliverance from slavery. Is that your foundation? You know, the foundation of a heart of wisdom and faithfulness to God for 2018 can be nothing else but God's deliverance. And it did happen to you. And you should stand on that experience in good times and in bad, in health and sickness, in abundance or financial need, in the community or in loneliness, whatever happens to you, good or bad, you should stand on that experience because that is true, that is real. That made you who you are. And in Caleb's life, that was the defining experience on which he stood, the presence of God in his life. God wonderfully and mightily and greatly just stepped into his life and stayed there. God wonderfully and mightily stepped into your life and stayed there. Lord, I want to have a heart of wisdom. And I want to be faithful to you in 2018 because you stepped in my life. You made me new. You changed me. You freed me from sin. You gave me eternal life. You changed my relationships, my thinking, my emotions, everything. And that is true in good times and bad times. Lord, I want to have a heart of wisdom, and I will be faithful to you because you delivered me. As I was studying the life of Caleb, that was the first lesson. I want to have a heart of wisdom. I want to be faithful because you delivered me. Now, there's a second element, and that is the outworking of a heart of wisdom. You know, there is a heart of wisdom, and that results in faithfulness, which withstands peer pressure and shows consistent obedience and trust to God. So yes, our foundation is God's deliverance. But as you step into this new year, the realization should be trust and obedience. That's what faithfulness is going to mean for this next year. If you have a heart of wisdom, you're going to trust and obey. And here's a longer story. If you turn your Bibles to Numbers 13, Numbers 13, verses 25 to 33, we can find this well-known story of the spies returning. Perhaps I shouldn't even read that, but let's just read it together. So that's Numbers 13, 25 to 33. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negeb, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report about the land that they spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and the people that we saw are in great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came from the Nephilim, and we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Now, why is it the 10 people say, "No, we can't do that"? It is because they saw God's deliverance. They experienced the 10 plagues. They saw the pillar of fire and pillar of smoke, but they did not believe. They saw it, but they did not believe. It is just like our modern society. They saw the crosses. They saw the Bibles. They know the Christmas story. They have the information, but they don't believe it. Caleb, on the other hand, had all the information and believed it. The redemption of God was not just head knowledge for him. That was the defining experience. He stood on that. The pillar of smoke and pillar of fire was not just a religious symbol. That was the centerpiece of his thinking. For the vast majority of the people, well, yeah, there is God. Okay. For Caleb, it was God before whom he lived his life. And that's why he stands up. And that's why he withstands peer pressure. Think about how difficult it must have been. 10 people saying, "No, we can't do that." And Caleb says, "Yes, we can. Don't you remember God who delivered us? Well, that was past. That was in Egypt. Maybe God is not operational in this land. don't you remember God who is standing in the midst of our camp, who is ever present? Well, you know, it may be a tornado or volcanic activity. Who knows what it is? I can hear such arguments even today as I'm talking to people. Well, it may not be his story. Well, it may be a fabrication, the Jesus story. Yeah, we are a Christian nation talking about Hungary, but we have to be tolerant. No, we are not a Christian nation anymore. And yes, we are overly tolerant. And yes, we have all the symbols and churches and crosses and crucifixes, but that's just history and culture. But for a few, that's the centerpiece of who they are. And that was Caleb. And Caleb withstood peer pressure, and not just for one day. Yes, there was this experience when everybody stands up, Moses, we're going to go back. And Caleb says, no, we are not going back. But if you are thinking about the next 40 years, and as Catherine mentioned, we studied the Old Testament together. If you carefully read the first 5 books of the Bible, their wanderings in the wilderness, what you see is this rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. And Caleb is standing faithful. How difficult it must have been for him. And probably many of his family members said, no, Caleb, you're just a religious fanatic. You're just an oddball. What kind of things are you saying? Don't you see, we are for 40 years in the desert? If God was real, how could he allow this to happen? But Caleb says, I have a strong foundation. The one who delivered us will keep his promise. He said, 40 years, I trust him. But he was the minority. He was the minority, but he had a heart of wisdom. He had a heart of wisdom. He knew his redemption. And he said, I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to withstand peer pressure. And when finally they enter the land, Caleb does the same thing. They enter the land, and as we were reading from the scripture, remember what kind of land was he asking for? For the most difficult one, with the giants. He says to Joshua. He says to Joshua, give me giant land, okay? I'm only 85. I'm ready for that. Now think about all the people. 85? Well, 85. But again, this guy, Caleb, he was standing on solid ground. He was standing on redemption. He had a firm conviction of who God is and what he can do and is present. And he said, I'm going to do that. And the outworking of his heart of wisdom was faithfulness. He withstood peer pressure, and he was faithful and obedient and said, God, you said we can take it. I believe we can take it. Again, let's make a jump to the 21st century. You are standing on the solid ground of redemption. Amen? And God is going to bring the giants into 2018 into your life and my life. He will. Are you going to say, God, I trust you. No matter what kind of giants I'm facing, it can be a financial giant, it can be a health giant, it can be a family relationship giant, it can be any obstacle that is just overly too big for me, I trust you. Because I'm standing on this firm foundation. You redeem me, and you are present in my life, just as you were present in the middle of the camp of the Israelites. And with you, I am going to win. I'm going to overcome. Not going to leave me. I will have a heart of wisdom. I will be faithful to you. And I will act in faith and obedience, just like Caleb did. Although humanly, it seemed the wrong kind of choice. See, my resolution that I want to have a heart of wisdom. And I want to be faithful to the Lord. And remaining faithful to the Lord is difficult when a giant is coming up. But I want to be faithful. And there is yet one more lesson from the life of Caleb. And for me, particularly, that's the most beautiful. And most, as I'm getting older, probably the most important. And that is the legacy. That is the legacy. That is the legacy. If you go into the Bible to Joshua 15, verses 14 to 17, we see one more Caleb story. It's in Joshua chapter 15, verses 14 to 17. Here we can read about the legacy of Caleb. This is what it reads. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, descendants of Anak. And he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir. Now, the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, "Whoever strikes Kiriath Sefer and captures it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, daughter of Caleb, captured it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as a wife. You know, if you just quickly read this story, you think, well, he was like a king, so he's going to give his daughter to the mightiest warrior. But there is much more in this story, because the area he's talking about is inhabited by giants. So basically what Caleb says is this: whoever has faith like I do, I will give my daughter to. Whoever has the same foundation of redemption, whoever trusts in the Lord just like I did, to that person I will give my daughter. This choosing a nephew was not about might, not about power, not about military capacity. It was about faith. It was about faith in God. Whoever follows my footsteps, I will give my daughter to. And if you keep reading this story, we're going to meet with Othniel in the book of Judges. He is the first judge. He is the one who, against all odds, redeems the nation from the Mesopotamians. Isn't that interesting? So Caleb basically says, whoever follows my footsteps can follow my family. Caleb has a legacy. There is people around Caleb who see what kind of faith he had, who saw his heart of wisdom, who saw his faithfulness, who saw his commitment, who saw him counting the days for 40 years, day after day, and just being faithful and faithful, remembering redemption. And it says, I want to be like Caleb. Now again, I'm standing up to teach 50-some students every day, and I often wonder, can I help them to be faithful? Because, you know, all the dates and the stories and the background, they can learn it from books. All the books are out there. But am I helping them to be faithful, to have a heart of wisdom, to make wise choices, to count their days for 10, 20, 30, 40 years wisely and say, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you no matter what? Because that's what ultimately matters. The legacy. The legacy of a faithful believer is other people who have hearts of wisdom and faithfulness. Remember, Caleb was standing on his redemption. The foundation of his heart of wisdom and faithfulness was God's redemption. And the outworking of it was withstanding peer pressure and showing faith and obedience against all the odds. And the legacy of it was people with the same kind of heart of wisdom and faithfulness. See, I started up this story with Gezabachi, but I haven't finished this story. Let me finish the story. In the mid-80s, Gezabachi was over 60. There was a bunch of missionaries sitting around his kitchen table. Out of that core group came the first board of Word of Life, our ministry. And when it was officially started in 1990, Gezabachi was the first chair of the board. Today, he's still a board member at the age of 92. But that's not the end of the story. I was the translator of an English speaker on Gezabachi's farewell service. He said this: "Well, I think I did my ministry for 45 years. Now I'm going to spend my time teaching and writing books. Well, pretty much next week, he was in another church of about 15 people, which then became the largest church of the country. Then about 10 years later, in his mid-70s, he went to another small church, and now that is the biggest church of the country, okay? And I bet my head, this morning, at the age of 92, he was still preaching and sharing God's faithfulness and God's goodness somewhere in the country. A man who was counting his days wisely. A man who had a heart of wisdom, who's been faithful for all those long years. And that's my resolution for this year. And that should be your resolution for this year. Lord, I want to count my days that I have a heart of wisdom and I'm faithful to you, no matter what, in good times and bad. Lord, I want to have a heart of wisdom and I want to be faithful in good times or bad because you redeem me. I want to show faith and obedience because you redeem me. I want to have a legacy, people around me, family members, friends who follow my example because you redeem me. My resolution for this year is that I want to be faithful to the Lord no matter what. And for that, I need a wise heart. And for that, my prayer is, teach me to number my days, that I may get a heart of wisdom, just like Caleb did. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the shining example of Caleb, a man who experienced and believed redemption, and who decided to have a wise heart and to be faithful. A man who for decades remained faithful against peer pressure, who showed faith and obedience in impossible situations, who had a legacy of followers who had hearts of wisdom and faithfulness. Lord Jesus, through your Holy Spirit, is it possible for us? We don't have to be superheroes. We do not have to be greatly talented for that. We just have to have a heart of wisdom and faithfulness. And through your Holy Spirit, you will do all these things. You will teach us how to obey and how to be faithful and how to have a legacy. Help us to make it our New Year's resolution. Amen.